Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, September 27th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. I'm feeling fantastic this Monday morning, Greg Miller. Good to be here with you.
It's good to be here with you, Timothy Geddes. Did you get to play any video games this weekend?
Oh, I played one game and one game only, and I played it a lot. And that game was Halo Infinite PlayStation 3 navigation controller and the mouse, and it was glorious. It finally worked. This technical preview, Greg, it allowed me to get into all the details and change everything I needed. Every single button could do whatever I wanted. Got this working without... It was flawless. It was flawless, everybody. The future is here, and his name's Tim Geddes.
How was it? It was great.
It was fantastic. I love it. The future is here. I cannot believe it. It is the perfect melding of controller and mouse and keyboard in one. And Halo Infinite, oh my God.
Thank you. I didn't mean your stupid, weird controller.
Oh, that's just amazing.
Halo Infinite play for you.
It all goes together, Greg. It's what makes it an amazing experience. That game is incredible. I had so much fun. I have not had that much fun in a multiplayer game in years. Like, it was fucking awesome. Playing with Mike, playing with Andy, playing with Kevin. Kevin learning to play for the first time. Oh, yeah, man. Kevin was kicking ass. Strongholds. It's his shit.
BKD, how'd you feel out there?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yep. Really enjoyed it.
Of course, you guys were streaming this over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. But after the cameras went off, did you guys keep playing? Were you there all weekend to get as much as you could?
Oh, yeah. Totally. It was a lot. I think I played 8 hours.
Dang. Yeah. Are you feeling ready? Are you feeling hyped? Are you thinking you're going to come out there and be a competitor when this game actually ships?
I'm going to have a fuck ton of fun when this game comes out, Greg. Am I going to be a competitor? No. Except when it comes to Capture the Flag and maybe the Stronghold business. I don't know. These objective-based games, that's where I thrive. I'm not so good at the shooty shoot. I'm better at the sneaky sneak.
Understandable. Mm-hmm. Kevin, are you going to be back for Halo Infinite when it's actually out? Is this going to be something you drop into? Are you going to put Halo on the back burner?
Oh, you mean Fortnite on the back burner?
I did mean that. Thank you.
I think... I'll try to handle both. We'll see how that works. You know what I mean?
I don't think it'll be able to work well. Did you even remember to log into Fortnite this weekend and buy Venom? Your favorite character, Tom Hardy and Venom? He was in Fortnite. Kevin was very excited on Friday about buying him, Tim.
No.
We had a little muffled. Kevin doing his Tom Hardy impression.
God, what a bad movie.
I can't wait to watch that movie again.
We're going to do the rewatch for Venom in review. Recording later today. Patreon.com/kindoffunny. Going up for everyone else. YouTube.com/kindoffunny tomorrow.
But that's enough Venom talk, ladies and gentlemen. Instead, let's talk about the Hot Wheels Unleashed reviews being in. Our first look at The Last of Us on HBO. And the backbone's got a solution for the new iPhone. We will cover all of this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show over at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in with your questions. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post-show we do each and every weekday. And of course, you could support us and get a bevy of other benefits for PS I Love You XOXO, the Kinda Funny Games Cast, the XCast, the Next Gen Podcast, and so much more, all on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. There are lots of ways to support the show. You, of course, could be watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames right now, just like I saw Sad Boy Barrett first, but he doesn't count. Frog Knight, Joshy G, Xander 21899, and Wasted Bandwidth R. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Of course, there's a brand new way to support Kind of Funny. If you use that Epic Game Store, if you play Fortnite on any of your consoles or devices, if you are playing that there Rocket League, we have an Epic Creator code Kind of Funny, all one word. You can enter that whenever you buy stuff in the games or the platform of your choice. You'd be giving us a couple bucks back, and it'd be great as we're part of the Epic Creator program now. Housekeeping for you. The ultimate McDonald's food tournament is upon us, ladies and gentlemen, right now. What'd you say?
I said it is.
Oh, I thought you said this, and I thought like then you stopped. Like I was going to say, yeah, okay. You can go right now to twitter.com/kindafunnyvids. We are holding around 50 item tournament. Between all the different things on the McDonald's menu, today we are doing breakfast items. Right now, you could go vote in polls for sausage McGriddles versus sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles. And I'll tell you right, sausage McGriddles getting that crap kicked out of them right now. The bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles versus the big breakfast that has swung drastically throughout the day. And then, of course, one that is breaking my heart, but I understand, hash browns versus egg McMuffins. And hash browns just burying egg McMuffins right now.
No shit, of course. That makes sense, dude. Hash browns supremacy.
Of course, the way we're doing it, ladies and gentlemen, is we're doing each one of the big bracket. We have, you know, four different sides of the bracket here for these 50 items. We're doing one a day. So today's breakfast, if you miss this and listen to it later, I think tomorrow's desserts, then it's chicken and stuff, then it's burger and fries, and then Friday is the semifinals and finals to crown the ultimate McDonald's food item. This is all happening via your votes over on twitter.com/kindoffunnyvids throughout the days. So go ahead, put on your notifications over there and have a good time. Today, as I said earlier, PS I Love You XOXO is recording live today. It is the usual show with me and the roller skating gameplay and Janet Garcia, but the second half of the show, we're doing topic of the show late, and we are doing the Life is Strange True Colors spoiler cast. So if you haven't beaten that game, don't fret. You still get your PS I Love You in the front. And if you have beaten it, hey, come talk to us about that game. Again, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames today if you want to watch live or get it without the ads. Tomorrow, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. And I went to knock on my desk, but I hit the top of my shoe. Sorry. Thank you to our Patreon producers, the Kind of Funny Destiny 2 PC Clan Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Liquid IV. Let me try this again. Today, we're brought to you by Liquid IV, ExpressVPN, and Demon Slayer. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
Number one, Timothy Geddes. It feels like months ago now. Mm-hmm. We saw Hot Wheels Unleashed for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at it and going like, oh, cool. A baby's game for babies. I'm not going to pay any attention to this. Then it was
this
a game.
Baby.
Then it was right a Games Pass, I don't know, where I made a joke about Hot Wheels Unleashed, and both you and Bless came off the bench swinging at me, telling me how great this game was going to be, how cool this game was going to be. And I was like, really? Is it going to be that great? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we can tell you today, as the reviews roll in for Hot Wheels Unleashed, that yes, it is that great. I checked it this morning, and so there weren't enough Metacritic reviews up. It looks like there still aren't enough for it to have a full-blown Metacritic, but I can tell you and go through the review roundup here with you to go through it. Okay, hold on. Xbox is showing right now a Metacritic of 70, but like I said, reviews are trickling in. The ones that are up are positive. We'll start at IGN.com, where Luke Riley gave it a 9. Highly accessible, yet full of advanced techniques, devilish shortcuts, and creative tools to master, Hot Wheels Unleashed is one of the best, most customizable, and most imaginative arcade racers I've played in at least a decade. Fun, fast, and damn near photorealistic at times, Hot Wheels Unleashed is a surprising and brilliant arcade racer. Carefully detailed, highly customizable, and buoyantly uncynical, this toy racer defies all expectations with remarkable attention to detail, excellent track design, and an accessible handling model that still rewards high skill. The racing may be tiny, but make no mistake, this game is enormous fun. Over at Nintendo Life, it got a 7. Chris Scullion wrote, "As it stands right now, Hot Wheels Unleashed is a fun racer whose fantastic selection of cars makes up for its relative lack of varied course environments. With updates and DLC, it has the potential to become a brilliant mess of licensed properties in the way the best mashup games are. But what's here is a solid enough foundation to start from, even if it's a little samey at launch. And then Forbes put up a review, but they don't put up review scores, but I liked it. Matt Garner wrote, "Cynics be damned, the gamble is paid off. Milestones, Hot Wheels, Unleashed shrugs off the brand's history of poor official titles, offering a deep experience that belies its $50 price tag. In fact, it may well be the biggest surprise in the racing genre in 2021. I cut out a lot of the review. Obviously, go there. I'm putting a dot, dot, dot ellipses here, right? Nonetheless, for all its minor annoyances, Hot Wheels Unleashed gives you remarkable bang for your buck. Alongside a big career mode, livery, editor, two-player local and 12-player online multiplayer, and licensed vehicles, there's a tightly controlled, great-looking arcade racer that's perfect for players of all ages and skills. And thanks to its track builder, it's only to get bigger and better by the day." Tim, I of course want to hear that you have your victory lap here, but what I also want to point out, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, is that on Friday's stream, after Kinda Funny Games Daily, we actually played 2 hours of Hot Wheels Unleashed. You can get that on youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Important to point out, it was an exclusive to us of us getting to look through some tracks and play the game live for the first time. It wasn't sponsored. It was more of a preview opportunity, and they also sent us Portillo's hot dogs, which was a nice touch, if you ask me. But I was blown away by how much fun I had. Tim, where are you at right now?
I mean, I am blown away by how much fun I'm having with the game. And on top of that, it's just, I'm shocked at this. Do I think it deserves a 9? Absolutely not. I do think that this, that's a little hyperbolic. I do think it fits a little closer to the 7 range. But I understand the excitement of a game like this delivering as much as it is. Because when we first saw this, it kind of became a joke between me and Bless. A joke based in reality of when we saw this was like, this actually looks awesome. And it reminds us of a lot of the old N64 era Hot Wheels games or this type of arcade racer, right? And in this world we're in right now, where I just gave my review of Cruisin' Blast last week on the Kinda Funny Games cast, this is not that. This is I think more of a step towards more of a modern type of actual console arcade racer as opposed to Cruisin' Blast, which is what if arcade throwback games were at home? You know, which is very fun as well. Like, I think that, like, I love that both of these can exist at the same time period. It's weird that they're this close, I would say. But I am so happy that Hot Wheels Unleashed is doing as well as it is. I don't remember if I put this on my fantasy draft, but maybe I'll finally have a point on the board for this and I'll take some wins there.
Anyways,
this is awesome. Very, very happy that it's as good as it is. I can't wait to keep playing it. And this feels like one of those random, like, never would have expected this game to even hit this mark. So good for them.
I can confirm that you do not have it on your fantasy draft. It actually went undrafted on the kindoffunny.com/gamescastleague fantasy draft, where Blessing and I are neck and neck. You heard him come in there. Not on the ones and twos, but actually here for some commentary. It's the one, the only sad boy, Barrett Courtney. Barrett, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Greg. Gamers out there were playing Halo all weekend. I was playing Hot Wheels Unleashed, and
that's the sign of a true gamer. You know what I mean?
At least, you know, I'm not doing this monstrosity of a half controller, half keyboard all weekend. You know what I'm saying?
Why would you say monstrosity? Like, why would anyone have a bone to pick with this? Like, it's honestly, do you think the keyboard's better than it?
Like a keyboard by itself, a keyboard and mouse better than a keyboard controller combo? 100%.
Why?
Okay, again, ladies and gentlemen, I have to bring this up because we showed it more visually than anything else. What Tim, if you're driving your forklift right now, if you're waiting on a train, you don't have a visual. When Tim talked earlier about his little PlayStation Move nub or whatever, right? He was saying that he played Halo Infinite with a mouse in one hand and then the PlayStation Move joystick, little button combo, what do they call that? Navigation wand, right? Navigation wand in the other hand. So if you can visualize that, and now Baird has shown up to say this is crazy talk.
If I may, for a moment,
I like to say I joke around a lot, but I think Tim, he's got his hands on the future, and I respect him for being experimental and trying something new. God bless you, Tim.
Everyone else is too comfortable. No one in the world could argue that WASD is better than analog movement for controlling a character in first person shooter.
All right, Tim.
I hate WASDA. You know, I'm right there. I'm saying it to him. Back to Hot Wheels Unleashed. Barrett, you were part of the stream. You joined late. You saw us all having a great time. So then you went, you downloaded it, you came in and played with us. You said you kept playing. Talk to me a little bit about your weekend impressions with Hot Wheels Unleashed.
I was honestly surprised. Like, even just that stream where I came in and the two races that I did, I smoked all of y'all. I was having a fun time, especially that first track that we went in. And I think that was like a user created track of just like how experimental and how fun this game can get, especially especially with the track creator, and just like even the pre-made tracks by the developers were just like really fun to go through. I think the most important thing for, I wouldn't really call this a kart racer, but like more of like the fun side of racing games is like the moment to moment gameplay needs to feel good. And that's been like a lot of my complaints with like other racers that I get into and stuff like that, where it's like, yeah, there's like a presentation that's fun, right? There, you know, there's like the Nickelodeon kart racer that came out last year where it's like, yeah, it's fun to play as Nickelodeon characters and stuff, but like the gameplay doesn't feel right. And the thing that has really stuck with me all weekend is that like, no matter what like Hot Wheel that I'm playing as, whether it's like the weird dinosaur one or like the cool looking not even like the Batmobile, but there's one that kind of like reminds me of like a modern Batmobile kind of situation, like it it always feels fun and it always feels right with the momentum and the weight of everything. It's just it's a blast to play, and I've mainly just been doing the single player stuff because there haven't been a lot of people online over the weekend, understandably. So I've just been like going through and like unlocking a bunch of cars and stuff like that. And it's honestly, I'm surprised it's like the racing game that is I've had the most fun with since like Mario Kart 8 came out. And so that's just I'm really into it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's refreshing to play a racing game where like I don't have every track memorized and I'm actually having some challenge and some fun with it. And I honestly think the 9 is a well-deserved score there.
Here's my thing when I think of this score of, you know, Tim's talking about here earlier, of like IGN gives it a 9, Nintendo Life gives it a 7, you know, where are you at on that scale kind of thing. I think after the 2 hours we played with it there, it greatly exceeded my expectations, right? As I went in there to play around with it. But when we were initially playing, and like there was a limited amount of tracks that are come packed in with the game, right? And we were doing them, and we kind of already gone the carousel once and started again. That's when I was like, okay, this seems like it might be a little one note. This might be blah, blah, blah. Then we went into the user created content. And yeah, there was plenty of ones that were just testing your skills as a driver. But then when we got the one course, it was like a puzzle where it was, you know, all right, cool. There's checkpoints you can kind of see in the distance. And if you get thrown off, you go to the other one, you got to figure it out. And the way we were all playing and talking to each other and trying to, it became a puzzle game of trying to figure out what to do. And even once we got there to the next part of it, trying to figure out how to actually get over the giant chasm, how to land, where to go next. Like, that for me was a window into where I think I'm more with Tim of like, okay, cool. From what you're getting out of the box for $50, I think it might be closer to a 7 than a 9. But I can see where once the user creator content gets poured into this, you could get over to that 9 range and have something truly impressive. Kevin, if you want to go to assets, I kicked you a tweet I'd like to show over here. You know, on the stream, we were joking around. Blessing unlocked a garbage truck. And then we were like, oh, wait, on top of making tracks, you can actually go in and customize your cars. Blessing tried to make a garbage truck on fire real quick. He's like, yeah, I'm sure somebody else could do this way better. I am Mr. Bo. Put this one out over on Twitter if you can get it up, Kevin, and what he did with the garbage. Was shark on fire. I'm sorry, back to you, Barrett.
And I imagine just playing through, like, y'all were just doing quick races, I imagine, throughout the stream, and just like kind of going through each and every course. I can imagine it can get tiresome, but like honestly going through the single player stuff, I feel like, even though like I have noticed of like going through tracks like for different like challenges and stuff like that, like it's never gotten old for me because there's always something like new and different to experience and stuff like that. And like the quote unquote like boss races are some of the most fun I've had so far in the game. And I think have like some of the most imaginative courses. So
I didn't know there was boss battles in it. I haven't played anything except the multiplayer stuff we did.
Right, right.
Tim, that I'll echo with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's super great. If you have any interest in this game, check it out, because it delivers any of that interest you might have had. It delivers on that for sure. Like, it is a Hot Wheels game. It is super fun. The biggest problems I had going into it was I was concerned it was going to be too slow. And I don't think that that's fully addressed. Like, it still is on the slower side compared to what I would want from it. But it is much quicker than the original trailers showed.
So there you go. Hot Wheels Unleashed right now. Positive sentiment out there, as I said, like when I went earlier today, there were none. But even when I'm over on the Metacritic now, just for the Xbox version, their 70 is based on 4 reviews from Player 2, the Xbox Hub, Zhu Video, and Cultured Vultures. So that doesn't even have the IGN 9 in there, let alone an unscored Forbes 1. Kevin, are you around?
I'm running the show now, I guess.
No, I'm sorry. I'm around. I just had my Bluetooth headphones were having issues, so I
right.
I got them to work again, and like when I clicked back in, I heard you say something about were you asking me to pull up an image?
Yeah, assets I sent over Mr. Bo's garbage truck on fire he made for Hot Wheels Unleashed. I just want to show that before we transition out of the story or whatever.
That looks fucking awesome.
And again, for me, that's what I'm talking about, where I think I was playing it, you know, again, multiplayer drop in, you run around, do stuff. And again, I'm not the racing guy, right? I was like, okay, cool, this is fun. But then you see the creativity here and the track creator and all the stuff. I'm like, shit, fuck, this could honestly be a little bit like Mod Nation Racers, which I loved so much.
Yeah.
Let alone, they've already announced that there is a Superman DLC coming for this one. Yeah, Kevin.
I do feel like the track creator is the game changer here, where it went from a fun little game to totally, like you were saying, the puzzle one that we played. It's just a different game that is in its own right, like so much fun and kind of like, it's developing something new. It feels like it's making you think in a way that racers don't typically do.
Yeah. So there you go, everybody. Hot Wheels Unleashed out this week, seeming pretty positive, and we enjoyed our time with it. Don't believe us? Go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Watch our 2-hour Let's Play over there to see us go through all the emotions and just watch Blessing stink it up, you know? Number two. Stinky. Number two on the Roper Report. We have a Last of Us Day recap for you. Yesterday, Sunday, the 26th was Last of Us Day, which used to be Outbreak Day, but they changed because of the whole global pandemic thing last year that kind of threw everything off. They had shown a bunch of merch ahead of time, said they would reveal more stuff and some new content. We had a whole conversation on Friday, like, what's it going to be? Don't get too hyped. Turns out we were all right. So we'll start with the most exciting news from it. And Kevin, there's a hyperlink in here. We got our first look at The Last of Us on HBO. Kevin has pulled up the shot here. You, of course, see Joel, Ellie, you have Pedro Pascal. And then I always forget Ellie's name. Do you remember off the top of your head or off the IMDb?
Oh, I don't remember off the top of my head.
She's a girl from Fair Islands girl. Yeah. Them looking at a crash plane. It's just, if you're an audio listener, it's a shot from the back. I'm sure you've, of course, seen it. Bella Ramsey. Thank you very much.
Bella Ramsey, yep.
Looks awesome, Tim. I think even when you look at like Joel's backpack here and how accurate that is to what we've seen before in the game.
This is incredible. I mean, I have talked about it a lot recently about how excited I am for this show and how I think that it really is going to be something that's truly special. And like, this is going to be a big, big, big project from HBO, not just another show they have. This is them trying to have a new flagship title to be able to grow with. And this, everything that they've had so far has been pitch perfect. It reminds me of the lead in to Force Awakens when it first came out, where I'm not talking about the quality of what came after that. I'm talking about every decision, every like piece of media they put out leading into that movie coming out was just like, oh, these motherfuckers get it. And will they stick the landing? That's a totally different thing. But in terms of what we're
going to crush it,
I do too. And it's like, I have full faith in them right now. And this image we're seeing is another perfect example of it. The costumes look fantastic. Just the vibe of it looks fantastic. And I also love this image behind the shoulders, behind the back of these characters, very video game-esque. Like, that's a deliberate decision. Like, they are trying to do something here that is very true to what Last of Us is, and one image speaks very loudly and in a positive way for me with this.
Yeah, exactly. I think for a show that depends so much on the vibe, right, capturing the vibe of The Last of Us, I think this photo does that. And it does it in a way where you look at these, you look at them from behind, you're like, oh, that's Joel and Ellie, and like the backpacks and everything that like it would be a touchstone visual clue for them is there, and what that'll, you know, evolve into in the show is a different conversation. And, you know, I can't wait to get the full-blown character reveal of them looking at the camera, actually, you know, gun up or whatever, his giant revolver. But for a first look, and especially for something on Last of Us Day, I thought this was well done. I thought this was a good look, and I can't wait for the show. I do think the show is going to be one of the standouts, if not the standout, when we talk about video game adaptations. I think the fact that they have, you know, Craig from Chernobyl, the fact that Neil, who of course made the games and is now working and writing and then directing, it was revealed last week, some of the episodes, right, is over there doing that. I think they have something truly special here, let alone the cast, let alone the reverence for the product. I mean, more interested to see what they do in terms of what a season looks like for this show. Where are we going to stop? Where are you going to go? What is actually going to happen? And I'm sorry, Tim.
I was going to say, Gustavo, on the music, I think that that is such an important thing. Whenever there's these adaptations, I feel like music is something that never gets enough love. And it's like, that is so core to the experience of what Last of Us is the emotions you get from that score. And imagining that score in a beautifully shot live action show that is able to kind of do what video games can't when it comes to character development and storytelling in a different medium. And it's not to say one's better than the other. It's just they are different. And I think that they understand that. Druckmann gets that. The team they're working with obviously gets that. They did Chernobyl. Like, this has so much going for it, and I really think it could be awesome. And having played the games, to go to your question of like where it's going to start and end, it's like I think that there's some pretty clear, obvious season one, season two, season three stop points that they can have between Last of Us 1, Last of Us 2 being split into two parts. Like, it really tells a nice story there. So we'll see.
We shall see. I'll be fascinated if season one goes all the way through.
Yeah.
If season one is just Last of Us 1, I feel like that's too much to put in there.
Yeah, I think they could do it.
I think they could, but I think if you're trying to do, you know, I think if you're trying, as you just said, there are differences, right, between video games and live action production. And I feel like a live action production would have not a more problem, but I think if you're in this for the week to week and you're in it for the drama, like, I think there's more happening on their journey than wanting to jump between the seasons, right? Where you, like, all of a sudden they're just further into the United States. I think people would want to see that whole journey out. Not the game, and I'm just not trying to say that TV shows and live action fiction don't do time jumps. Obviously, look at The Walking Dead multiple times, but I'm just thinking here that you'd want that HBO would want to spread it out and string it along a bit more, but maybe that would also wear it on viewers.
Totally. We'll see. I mean, there's 10 episodes for this thing. And 10 episodes of a modern show, like, 10's a lot. If we're talking about HBO, that's like and especially with HBO Max, there's not like a limit to how long it could be. Like, we could be getting like legit hour-long episodes. 10 hours of a Last of Us story, like, that definitely can cover the entirety of Last of Us 1. Yeah. But I do expect them to have more flashbacks. I do expect them to also include their version of Left Behind DLC and, like, also just fill in other gaps, introduce brand new characters we don't even know. We have already heard that we're going to get more stories about Bill and his relationship and all that stuff. So it's like there's a lot to fill in. Having said that, Last of Us 1 is a 17-hour game, and like so much of that is gameplay, and so much of that is menus, and so much of that is, you know, not actually storytelling stuff. So we'll
see. Last of Us 1 more like 8 to 10.
I mean, whatever it is.
Oh, well, I'm just, it's one of those things, you're going to get attacked. You know what I mean? They're going to come for you. Hold on. I'm opening up how long to beat. Oh, no, you were right. I'm wrong. 15 and a half. It just flies by. You know?
Yeah, that's what totally.
That wasn't all the Last of Us information, of course, ladies and gentlemen. People all day long during Last of Us Day. Because, again, if you want to go to Naughty Dog's Twitter, they have it all there. If you want to go to their site, you know, they announced new merch. They announced new music. They announced a new Joel statue that looks pretty dope. But obviously, people were clamoring the entire time for information about the game. Before The Last of Us HBO image got released, they put out a letter to fans talking about, obviously, their support for The Last of Us, but ending with this. And this is them quoting what the audience would be saying. Yeah, that's lovely and great, Naughty Dog, but what are you doing with The Last of Us right now? Back to Naughty Dog. In short, we're working on it. We see the community comments as many of you clamor for multiplayer and want updates. For now, we'll say that we love what the team is developing and want to give them time to build out their ambitious project. We'll review more when it's ready. To that end, we've been busy growing our team inside the kennel since The Last of Us Part 2 launched and are currently in full swing of hiring for multiplayer, or they put MP, related positions. Hint, hint. So, if you or somebody you know qualifies for anything you see on the jobs page, apply. In the meantime, another The Last of Us Day has come to a close. We hope you've had as much fun with us today as we had putting it together, and we will be watching closely for all the epic photos, art, and stories you send our way. Tim, when are we ever fucking seeing Last of Us Factions 2, whatever the fuck you're calling it?
I mean, I think at this point it's going to probably be a while till like we're actually playing it. When will we actually hear about it? I wouldn't be surprised if it was next E3 or sometime in the next year when it comes to whatever PlayStation wants to do their showcase, because they didn't at E3 this year. But I think that this is good news overall. I think this is also news that they are looking at Sony's library when it comes to PlayStation Studios, and multiplayer games just are not it at this point. Like, they really are focusing on third-party games to be able to carry that service to things like Call of Duty and et cetera, et cetera. So this, to me, I think is them kind of being like, we have something here. People did love Factions in the first game. So how do we kind of take that and make it mainstream? Last of Us is this giant property now, and it's not what it used to be. It used to be this beloved game that meant a lot to a lot of gamers. And like now, especially when it comes to the HBO show coming out, and eventually if this remaster comes or some package containing everything together, like Last of Us means more than it ever has before. And I think that multiplayer and the availability to play with your games with your friends means more than it ever did to people. So I think combining those two things, especially with the pedigree of Naughty Dog behind it, I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up being not a update to Last of Us 2, but it's entirely own product that they're putting out that is a multiplayer project. And I imagine that it's not too crazy to think and expect some type of battle royale mode or some type of kind of trend chasey type thing for this, but with the Last of Us skin and Last of Us type of gameplay and Last of Us again pedigree going into it, that I think it could be something really special that a lot of people dig, and it could be a much bigger hit than just being a game mode in Last of Us 2.
100%. And I think that clearly is what they're building towards, right? You talk about what this is, why you haven't seen it. You know, obviously it was supposed to be this thing. It's going to be shipping later. Now it's its own beast. You want to look, Last of Us factions in the original Last of Us, a beloved PlayStation multiplayer game for a very small group. And I'm not doing that to insult it or saying like, but I mean, you want to compare it to another multiplayer game, right? We're talking about when people talk about The Last of Us, what are they talking about? They're usually talking about the single player, the story. They're talking about the performances. Factions is always on the back burner. And for Naughty Dog to be doubling down this much, to be openly hiring for all these multiplayer positions, like making a big deal about, hey, we are hiring multiplayer people, it really shows that I think they're going above and beyond what Factions 1 was for Last of Us and what that looks like. And, you know, my spider sense, right, my PlayStation sense gets tingly, because I think if you're going that hard into it, it shows that this is going to be a full-blown Naughty Dog experience. And I mean that in the way that, not that Factions in Last of Us 1 was like half-assed or anything like that, but it was side content. It was the parsley. The game obviously was the meat and potatoes of it. I think the fact that they're hiring up this way, that they're talking about it, that they're all, you know, being upfront that they don't have anything to show right now, shows that they're really working on this and trying to go big with it, which then gets me really excited for what it could possibly be. Because, you know, you mentioned Battle Royale or trend chasing. I don't think they're chasing the trends as much as they'd be influenced on by whatever it is and then put the Naughty Dog spin on it. And so then that gets me excited of like, is this a multiplayer mode that is going to be not just team deathmatch? It's going to be somehow interactable. It's going to be similar to what you'd seen with the Uncharted co-op missions before, where it was like, hey, let's give you a multiplayer base you're with your friends at, and then you guys roll out on a mission to get supplies, but there are different things happening in the world on top of other factions coming out for you. Like, does it get to be a more narrative Naughty Dog AAA blockbuster experience in that way? And I think, you know, talking about Last of Us Factions, the original, I'd be like, oh man, that's not what that was. But with the work they're putting into this one, maybe it is. And Tim, one of the things I've said on other shows, PS, I love you probably the most, is talking about that I really think that 2022 is going to be the year of Last of Us, where I think that they are putting all their dominoes in a line right now to knock them over with this HBO show. Because obviously we've seen it time and time again, but I mean, you know, you jump to The Witcher, right? When The Witcher hit on Netflix last year, and then The Witcher 3 sales were like record numbers of people buying that game. You need to have content out there. And so my prediction is that next year, in the run-up to The Last of Us debuting on HBO, is the run-up to, hey, here's Last of Us director's cut, aka, and Last of Us remake bundled together, and whatever, however they're doing that, but all for PlayStation 5, all as fancy as can be. And then on top of that is the teaser announcement, whatever, for Factions. I think we're going to see director's cut, and I think we're going to see the remake of Last of Us before we see this multiplayer thing, because I think you want to, hey, everybody who doesn't know what the fucking Last of Us is but now knows because of the TV show, it's awesome, you love it, play the games on your new PlayStation 5, which hopefully you can finally get in stores in 2022, and then on top of that, in 2023, we're dropping, you're talking about, Tim, a multiplayer experience where you can squad up with your friends and you guys can go out as you wait for the next season of The Last of Us on HBO.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I wonder when The Last of Us TV series is actually going to debut, because there has been a trend of big titles coming out in December, which is not how things used to be back in the day. But like with The Witcher, I mean, even season 2 is premiering, I think, December 17th or something like that.
Sure, this year. Where season 1 did right around the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And then we got, I mean, even things like Cobra Kai that at this point are one of Netflix's biggest kind of money grabs and like things that people are like actively looking forward to. And that's December 31st. So it's like that is a traditionally dead time in Hollywood, but now it's kind of turning into this active thing as people are home. We even saw it with like the crazy ass numbers that Soul got when it was on Disney Plus, or when Wonder Woman 1984 came to HBO.
Don't remind me.
But with Last of Us, I think that this thing's going to take a little bit while to cook. And so the first season is expected 2022, but I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being like a December launch for it. And so, so with that, it's like, how does this fit into what the plan that you're talking about? I think it actually could be pretty interesting where Last of Us 1 remake, whatever that looks like. Again, if it is the package that also comes with 2, just like kind of the Last of Us collection to get people ready. Like if that were to come out in June next year,
sure.
Or like honestly, anytime after that. Yeah, yeah. June to
like the of tentpole.
Yeah, make it a big deal, like leading into the show coming out and then leading into the multiplayer mode you're talking about. Like that makes a lot of sense marketing wise, and Sony are smart and they try to take advantage of that type of stuff. So I think that that could be a likely outcome.
Get Last of Us PS5 or whatever you want to define that as, part 2, remaster, all one, two different things, excuse, doesn't matter. Last of Us PS5, get that out like you're saying, right? End of summer, very beginning of fall, September, right now, a year from now, right? That way when the show drops in November, whatever, people get into it, they can go buy it. Hopefully, again, they can buy their PlayStation 5 in the store right there. And then at Game Awards, drop a trailer for Factions and be like, this is what you should all be getting excited for next year on The Last of Us train.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, I think that might... At Game Awards for Factions, I think, is a very, very likely call, Greg. Good call.
That's what I do. Jim Ryan, I hope you're listening. We just solved all your problems for you. Number 3 on the Roper Report. This is a fast and simple one, but usually I would usually put it in new dates, but it's too big not to go up here, Tim. Resident Evil 4 VR is releasing October 21st exclusively on Oculus Quest 2. Obviously, we knew Resident Evil 4 VR was in the works. We knew it was coming sometime this year. We didn't know a date. October 21st is the news there. Tim, are you hyped?
I am not, but I am excited that Resident Evil 4 just continues to be released on different consoles and different experiences. And, you know, VR, like, I'm just happy that VR is still kicking and that VR is still, like, kind of trying to understand its place in the industry and its place in the homes of gamers and non-gamers alike and all that. Like, cool. Core experiences like Resident Evil 4, like, that is good. Like, that's the type of stuff that we need more of, as well as things that are really pushing the boundaries of what a unique VR experience can be. So hell yeah, somebody needs to support the shit. So I'm happy that it definitely just seems like Bethesda and Capcom are doing their best.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's something so fascinating with VR, right? Where you talk about that, you know, I think it didn't set the world on fire. And so you got to get core games to it in some way, because of course the people who bought it and are excited for it are core gamers. Mm-hmm. And that's always the push and pull, right? Where I think the rush to VR early on was that there's going to be a mainstream device, which of course it wasn't. And now that it isn't, and the only people who are still buying games for it are hardcore gamers like ourselves, then yeah, of course, get out there and support it. And so why not take one of the most beloved games of all time, put it on there in VR and let it go?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm just interested in Resident Evil 4 remake and like how many times are they going to re-release this between now and when RE4 remake actually happens? Like how many more entries of RE4 are we going to get? I'm willing to bet there will be 2.
How many do you bet, ladies and gentlemen? You can tell me on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where, of course, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show with the exclusive post show we do, and you can watch us record all our other shows live before they go live on anywhere else on YouTube and that stuff. But most importantly for right now on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can go there to get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, Greg Way, this. This podcast is brought to you by Liquid IV. Working out, meditating, treating yourself with so many different types of self-care, it can be hard to remember one of the most fundamental ways to take good care of yourself: hydration. No, Liquid IV is not an actual IV drip, but it does hydrate you faster and more efficiently than plain old water. It contains the perfect balance of vitamins that help you hydrate quicker. How do I, Greg Miller, know so much about Liquid IV? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I like to drink too much, and often after I've had too much to drink the next day, we use Liquid IV around here. I've also used it, you know, when you're sick, maybe off the plane, you took a plane ride and you're like, ah, I'm I'm really thirsty. You know what I mean? You're dehydrated because of the pressurization. Use it. But also, if you learn to get your drink on, like Greg does, throw back a few brewskis like Stone Cold Steve Austin the next morning. Liquid IV does help. I mix it with my water quite a bit. Grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code KFGD at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code KFGD at liquidiv.com. Our next sponsor, why it's ExpressVPN. Going online without ExpressVPN is like leaving your dog with the nearest stranger while you run into the store. I would never do that to Portillo. Most of the time, it's probably fine, but you never know. What if they're a serial dog napper? Well, every time you connect to an unencrypted network, like a cafe or a hotel, your online data is not secured. Any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's been easy because, of course, ExpressVPN has been a sponsor of Kinda Funny for quite some time, a long time, and the one, the only, Cool Greg has used it quite a bit. All the internet surfing he does, all the different shows he's watching, all the different things he's streaming. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/games. That's ExpressVPN.com/games, and you can get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/games. And our final sponsor of the day, Demon Slayer. It's time to become the blade that destroys demons in Demon Slayer. Kimetsu no Yaiba, The Hinokami Chronicles, launching October 15th on PS5, PS4, Xbox, and Steam. Tanjiro comes home to find his family murdered and his sister transformed into a demon. Well, that sucks. Understandably, my boy Tanjiro is devastated by this and decides to become a demon slayer to restore his sister's humanity and seek revenge on the demon that slaughtered his family. Based on the anime Demon Slayer, the game's adventure mode lets you relive your favorite memorable moments and thrilling battles. Then there's a versus mode where you can choose any combination of two characters to face off. With exhilarating gameplay and a whole bunch of skills and characters from the anime, rise up to become the strongest of the Demon Slayers. Pre-order Demon Slayer and unlock two bonus characters and get early access to the game. To pre-order, just click the link in the description. Number four on the Roper Report. We have an update for a news story you might not have even known about, ladies and gentlemen. We have the Backbone V iPhone 13 Pro update for you. This is going to be read from Backbone's subreddit, but shout out to Taylor Lyles over at IGN, who was the one keeping me posted on the updates as we went. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, of course, the new iPhone's out, iPhone 13, iPhone 13 Pro. I have the iPhone 13 Pro. Did you get the Pro 2 there, Timmy? Mm-hmm. Of course.
Bros.
We're pro bros, ladies and gentlemen. Also, if you didn't know, I love a little remote play slash streaming device called the Backbone that snaps onto the back of your iPhone. Unless you, Tim's got it right there. What's the problem with the iPhone 13 Pro and the Backbone, Timmy? Tim
doesn't fit right because the cameras, too many cameras, big cameras.
The camera is amazing on this phone, but yeah, now it doesn't fit the form factor of the Backbone anymore. Kevin's throwing up this image here from Taylor over at IGN, who put up the article originally about this, showing the stuff off. They reached out for a comment, of course, from Backbone. Backbone didn't respond, but then over on the Backbone subreddit, they put up the following post. Our engineers just received the iPhone 13 models yesterday morning, and they've been working around the clock to analyze the situation. While the standard iPhone 13 and 13 mini models work great, Apple's new iPhone 13 Pro and 13 Pro Max have a significantly larger camera, which causes the iPhone and Backbone One to fit tighter than we'd prefer. The 13 Pro and the Pro Max have a much thicker camera turret of about 3.7 millimeters, over twice the thickness of the camera on the 12 Pro and nearly half of the overall thickness of the phone. This causes some interference with the camera and the bridge. You can push it to fit snugly into the handle, but it's not the best experience. We spent a tremendous amount of time meticulously crafting every surface of Backbone One, both bits and atoms, and even designing universal support for the iPhones available when it released. As a result, we're disappointed in the situation at hand. Several folks on the team even upgraded to 13 Pro Max for a better gaming experience, and while the fit may be acceptable for some users, it's not as good as we'd like it to be. However, Backbone's hardware engineers are world-class and never concede. Right now, they are putting the final touches on an adapter that improves the experience with a 13 Pro and Pro Max to put you back in the action without interruption. Kevin, if you want to toss it up, I have another link here of what they're doing.
Due to COVID-19 and supply constraints across the industry, we can't mass manufacture these overnight. So we'll be making the adapter design fully open source and free in a matter of days. This way, players can print it for themselves at no cost. UPS offers printing services, and there are tons of free local printers at libraries. But if you can't print your own, feel free to request at support@playbackbone.com, and we'll do our best. We'll be posting the printable files here, and this is, again, on the subreddit, soon. Tim, a shitty situation with a beautiful ending, where when I heard this news, Blessing dropped Taylor over at IGN's piece into the Slack when it dropped, and I was so heartbroken because, of course, getting the new phone, one of my big things was like, oh, my God, I can't wait to do more Backbone on it, to do some remote play on it. Obviously, Jen and I are expecting the arrival of our first child imminently, and I was going to bring the Backbone in my bag with the phone and just use it on the hospital Wi-Fi over there, right? Super stoked about it. So I was sad to hear this, but so heartened to hear, you know, that, you know, it's funny because I know I'm not throwing shade at Taylor, who did great reporting on this over at IGN. One of the IGN headlines, which I know not on this, on the thing, was like, Backbone finally has an answer for iPhone people. I was like, dude, the phone came out on Friday. The fact that by Monday morning they have a solution is pretty fucking great in terms of a turnaround. Awesome they have a turnaround. Awesome they're not charging for it. Awesome they're just going to put the files up. And on top of that, talk about, you know, the UPS stores or your library having a 3D printer, which I didn't know because I am obviously going to need one of these. I assumed Kevin might have a 3D printer, but then I didn't even need to worry about it here. Am I wrong, Tim? Did they nail this?
I fucking nailed it. Yeah, no, I mean, shout out to the Backbone just in general. I feel like there's so much loving care being put into it. So it's not just another peripheral. It's not just another, oh, hey, it's a controller for phones. It's like there's so much love, care, thought put into making sure it is a seamless experience no matter what you're doing, whether it's the xCloud or PlayStation Remote Play or playing games on the mobile device itself. Like it's really, Apple really, Arcade, really yeah. Apple Arcade. It's great. Great integration across the different phones, and like it being able to just kind of stretch and fit a bunch of different models. Like I'm surprised that this isn't more of an issue with more different phones and models. The fact that they obviously the iPhone 13 is a big enough deal that they need to be able to make sure that's compatible because so many people are going to have it. I love that they're ready for it and able to take action. And yeah, like you said, we're just going to put the source out there and you can print your own. It's awesome because to me, all this implies that they will come out with a new version that fixes this for sure. If you wanted to just get it later or even just a little part that you need or whatever. It's like, so it's cool. This kind of is best case scenario for dealing with a situation that is out of their hands at the end of the day. Like Apple designed the phone differently. So it either fits or it doesn't fit. And when they are so meticulous about the design and trying to make it as seamless and great in your hands as possible, concessions have to be made. And I think that this is kind of the opposite of that, where it's like, this is them kind of being like, hey, look, we got your back. You can trust and invest in our product because yeah. We are going to be here for you. And we want this to be a thing that's with you every step of the way in your gaming experience, where they want people to think of the Backbone as indispensable, as just something that you need to have. And good on them. They're doing a great job with that.
And for the record, I would 100% put it out there as an indispensable item. I love it. I know Razer Kishi is obviously the one Android phones get used with the most. I like my Backbone more. I think the buttons are more responsive, less squishy and stuff like that. But I'm a huge fan of my Backbone. And I think it is, you know, for something that is this boutique of an item, something that is this small scale of an item, but really popular, obviously, in the gaming crowd. I see it all the time on my Twitter. I think, yeah, this is the correct response to be out there and figure out how they're going to do it. And then, of course, yeah, like, you know, it's so hard, I feel for them, to make an item for a third-party item or something else that is, cool, we're doing this, but yeah, you can change anything. And I know, have you been tracking this whole thing with the EU and how they're going to start requiring USB-C, which could get rid of the Lightning?
Of course. Oh, yeah.
I hope they do. I don't want this Lightning port anymore, you know what I mean? Get it out of here. But yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, right there, you're talking about them having to do another version of the Backbone, right? Like, obviously, they've already said they're working on an Android version because obviously they want to take care of those people. And obviously, that would apply here too. But yeah, I'm sure the Backbone people are watching everything that's happening with heightened information of what's going on.
Yeah, totally. This is great. Fantastic stuff. Would love to see more of this in the future. This type of customer support is rare, unfortunately.
Then two things I want to address, because if I see it in the chat once, it does mean that everybody else is worried about it too. There is somebody listening is worried about it too. Number one, Camo Chameleon says, Greg overestimates the power of hospital Wi-Fi. And I would respond with, Camo Chameleon underestimates Bay Area Wi-Fi. All right? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. Somebody else went through there and said, oh, Greg thinks he's going to have time to play video games in the hospital. I'll have you know that on our both my Switch and Jen's Switch are charging.
we will be playing video games in the hospital. And if you aren't, it just shows you're not a true gamer. And I say you should embrace the Amish life you were born into. Number five on the Roper Report, G.I. Joe has a new AAA game in the works, apparently. We're going to go to Jody McGregor over at PC Gamer. Jody writes, mega toy brand Hasbro has, through its games division, Wizards of the Coast, opened a video game studio that is, quote, led by industry veterans from WB Games and other AAA studios, end quote. That's according to the job description attached to several listings for new roles. The studio, just referred to as New Raleigh Durham Studio, will be making a G.I. Joe game as its first project. The job ads call it a AAA third-person action-adventure game, as well as confirming it will be multi-platform. Qualifications mentioned in the listings for the four roles, technical director, art director, lead game designer, and lead animator, ask for experience with Unreal Engine, as well as knowledge of broad video game elements like progression and exploration mechanics. I cut out some of the article, of course. Go read Jody's reporting at PC Gamer. Paragraph I liked here, though. During a Hasbro investor event earlier this year, Wizards of the Coast president Chris Cox talked about, quote, leveraging some perennial Hasbro favorites with an eye towards developing them digitally, end quote, saying, we will bring these brands to digital life and develop experiences that resonate with the lifestyle gamer in ways that are fresh, new, and provocative. The Hasbro brands he mentioned were G.I. Joe, Transformers, Micronauts, and Ouija, as in Ouija board, which, yes, is a brand Hasbro has owned the trademark for since 1948. Tim, you love G.I. Joe. You're always over there going, snake eyes. Why are you excited about this game, bro?
No, jokes aside, I do not care about G.I. Joe. I'm just like, that is not a franchise I ever grew up with or was interested in, but Transformers definitely was, and they would collab every once in a while. There was a lot of crossover between the two. So because of that, I'm a little bit familiar with some of the things.
Sure.
Triple A G.I. Joe game, third-person action adventure. This doesn't really add up in my mind. Like, it's like, can't really compute this being a reality that actually turns out. Them saying led by industry veterans, WB Games, and other AAA studios, like, the talent could be there for sure, right? But there's just something about this that I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it. Like, what does this actually turn into? Like, what does AAA game mean? Because when you use that phrase, you're trying to imply something. You're trying to, like, make people think, oh, this is going to be a big deal. I just can't really imagine it being a big deal. Having said that, going back at this point a decade, the Transformers games were great, and I would argue those were AAA. Like, they were above the High Moon ones. Like, those were above AA games. Like, they definitely were not like the Transformers games of the PS2 era that were AA, right? So Hasbro, they got the brands, and there's definitely potential for a G.I. Joe video game. There's definitely potential for Transformers. Ouija, maybe not, but who knows? But definitely not a AAA game, I can tell you that. This is interesting. I don't really think that it's going to turn into anything consequence, and I don't think this is going to be anytime soon.
Do you remember? Yeah, and that's my whole thing. As like, so to give you anything, like, who knows what's going to happen? You have a bunch of different people. You're going for AAA third person action adventure game, which, of course, I think, what does it mean? I think it opens it up to a multi-hour, you know, something where it's going to look like Assassin's Creed, it's going to look like Avengers, it's going to be something to that degree, right? That's whatever. And will this turn out? Obviously, you have people from WB Games, other AAA studios. You're in North Carolina, a hotbed of game development, obviously, with people leaving Epic all the time. Obviously, the old Boss Key people that were over there. There's plenty of smart people over there.
Mm-hmm.
More power to you. Go get it. It's always hard to start a studio and then take on a big project and find the whole thing. Maybe they can do it. Maybe they can't. Blah, blah, blah. I wish them the best. I don't care about G.I. Joe either. I'm like you. But what I want to bring is, do you remember Toy Soldiers War Chest?
Oh,
remember
I'll never forget it, Craig. Never forget.
Kevin, I'm going to put this into assets too so we can talk over it real quick. Because like, this is one of those games that every so often I completely forget existed. And then I'm like, oh, wait, that happened. Where they put out this weird ass game that was eight armies, one toy box to defend the toy store. Like, what the hell was it? It was He-Man, G.I. Joe, like Kaiser from the little, like, what the hell? Remember this game? And it just came out. And it was like, you're going to go battle with all these different characters. Like, what the hell was going on?
Yeah. The idea of it's cool. It's just, yeah, you know, you look at this and you're like, well, this ain't AAA. Not that they said this was, but like, it's just a weird thing because IP is a tricky game to play, right? Because it needs to resonate with people. Like, just because people are aware of it, that might get their attention. But then they're going to look at it and be like, huh, okay. I guess He-Man's in this. Like, what does that actually mean for me? Is it going to get me to play this game that otherwise I wouldn't play? And yeah. I think when it comes to G.I. Joe, like G.I. Joe in 2021 especially just does not have that type of mainstream appeal and mainstream attention grabbing level to, I think, even validate a AAA game release, right? Like, looking at it, like they just put out a G.I. Joe movie and it flopped horribly bad with Snake Eyes that just came out. And sure. It's like Snake Eyes, one of the coolest elements of G.I. Joe. To non-G.I. Joe fans, right? So it's like, if that can't even get people in, I don't know that a giant video game's going to.
We shall see, ladies and gentlemen. Will it get Nick Scarpino to pick it up and play? Maybe. And that's all you really need in the end, even though he wants a mask more than anything, I guess. And then final, for the Roper Report on your first day of the brand new week, number 6 is just some fun ones for you, is what I called it. Just little tidbits I keep my ear to the Avengers ground, letting you know all the stuff that's happening. Marvel's Avengers developers in their Discord confirmed that, yes, I guess on Twitter, that Spider-Man is what we, quote, Spider-Man is what we call an event, so he will have cutscenes and a story for sure. Of course, if you looked at the Avengers roadmap, it's the Spider-Man event, which has made it look different than all the different operations, so people are just dropping a character and it's not going to make any sense. They say there will be something to make sense for it. And they also confirmed what I assumed from the roadmap, but they are confirming publicly, is that the new Claw raid is going to be unique, meaning that it's not just going to be a recycled battle from the Claw fight in the War for Wakanda expansion. It's going to be a brand new fleshed out thing for your giant team.
That's good, Greg. That's good. But before we move on real quick, I want to go back to this because it's even worse than I thought. Snake Eyes, one of the biggest bombs of the pandemic, $110 million budget, a $37 million box office. Yo.
It's not good. It's not good, everybody. That's not what you want. That when they talk about return on investment, that's not a return on investment.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Not what people want out of that.
But isn't that more reflective of the pandemic in general?
Yeah, but other movies aren't like that.
Yeah,
other AAA movies are making more.
But not like, people aren't making more than like $100 million, right?
But they are. A ton of them are, yeah.
That's imagine bad. Shang-Chi is probably the biggest one, right?
Yeah, that got announced. I think Shang-Chi and Black Widow did really well, or whatever, for pandemic wells. Doesn't matter. This ain't a movie podcast. Fuck off, everybody. And then your other fun one for you is that IGN tells me Bethesda has bought a PlayStation 5 for Deathloop's Jason Kelly after the voice actor told fans he didn't have a copy of the game or a console to experience it on. Pete Hines was on a thread, I guess, and was like, I can help you get a PS5 in a game. And he did. So there you go. Congratulations to Colt himself on playing his own game.
Hell yeah.
Tim, after the breakout success of Deathloop, I'm excited to see what other video games Jason Kelly gets cast in. But those announcements will be so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today. Nykra on PC. Peach Leaf Pirates on PC, Festival Tycoon on PC, Lost Epic, Steam Early Access right now ahead of a Q4 2021 release. And then, if that was enough for you, I will read from the press release here. Super Monkey Ball across Fall Guys. The iconic leader of the Super Monkey Ball gang is rolling into Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout in bean form. Awesome. The monkey from Jungle Island enters the Jungle Dome as an exclusive costume available in Fall Guys today through Thursday, September 30th. This special 20th anniversary collaboration arrives just in time to celebrate the upcoming release of Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania on October 5th. Now, I never played. I played Monkey Ball. I don't remember ever hearing this pronounced. Is that how I say this?
I
rolls into Fall Guys Jungle Adventure themed season 5 sporting his trademark orange A shirt and oversized ears, where he will be available for 10 crowns for a limited time from the Fall Guys.
Everyone's favorite, you know? Those oversized ears.
Thank God he's got that giant A on his shirt, that trademark giant A. Go get him, Monkey Ball. New dates for you. On September 29th, Rec Rally will be available to all users on Android, iOS, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, all the Xboxes, PC, Steam, Quest, and all the accessible VR headsets. And then Disco Elysium, the final cut, will be released on the Xbox family of consoles October 12th digitally. Physical editions will launch November 9th. Tim? We ask people watching live on Twitch.tv So, actually, you know, I actually have a squad up. I forgot that I had a squad up. We ask people watching live, or we watch people watching. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can write in to be part of the show with your questions, your comments, your concerns, and your squad up requests. This is where I read your name, your username, your platform of choice, and why you need help in video games. Then the best friends here, and they come and play games with you, and everybody has a good time. We have a different one today from the one, the only, the nanobiologist. Nanobiologist is urging you to go to his Twitter, nanobiologist, all one word. Nanobiologist says, so the Backbone is releasing 3D open source plans for people to 3D print an attachment so the iPhone 13 Pros and Pro Maxes fit better. However, 3D printers are not cheap to get started with, nor are they easy to use. I have a 3D printer and would love to help best friends get the tool they need to keep using their backbones. DM me at @nanobiologist on Twitter and I'll send one out to you. I just ask that you cover shipping.
Nanobiologist.
Love obviously that. A dedicated kind of funny best friend, always in the your wrongs, keeping us honest. And look at this nanobiologist, Mick himself out there saying, you know what? I'll do this for you. I can print this. So if you need a backbone and you don't have access to the UPS, you don't have access to your own thing, you don't have access to the library, the nanobiologist on Twitter, hit him up. He'll print it.
Hit him up.
And he'll get it done. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Only got one in here. It's from the nanobiologist who says, boss battles in Hot Wheels aren't really a boss battle. It's a more difficult race that's still 12 cars racing, but with a new track element. Like one will have acid spin on it, so it saps your boost. Thank you.
That feels like a boss battle, though. You know?
Yeah, no, but you understand where he's coming from. Of like me being an outsider to the single player campaign, I was like, oh, I thought it was going to be like a supercar we had to beat or something. That makes sense. I do define that as a boss battle as well, but I appreciate the boiling down clarification in there.
Ripper Roo. It's for you, Greg.
I'm not going to rip anybody's Roo, all right? So I don't know what you're talking about. That's disgusting.
Show some fucking respect, Greg.
I don't like it. I don't. Is the Ecto-1 in the game yet? I just want the Ecto-1 in the game. Ladies and gentlemen, that's your first show for a Monday, but guess what? You have more coming this week. Tomorrow it's going to be me and Gary Witta. Wednesday it'll be me and Snowbike Mike. Wow. Thursday it'll be Tim and Tam. Tim and Tam Thursday. And then Friday it will be me and I have Blessing, but Blessing's off this week. I think it's Janet. Is it Janet? Let me open my calendar over here. Everybody make conversation with yourself about your favorite button on a controller. No, Friday it's going to be me and Tim. Friday, it's me and Tim, ladies and gentlemen.
I am going to try to weasel my way out of that, Greg, if possible.
Yeah, sure.
Because that day is the Halo Big Team battle stream we're going to be doing on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We're also going to be reviewing Venom 2 that day.
Venom,
that's what my day would be looking like. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure. I'll probably hit up Janet Garcia then. You know what I mean? See if she's done roller skating or game playing and she wants to come over and hang out with me. Mm-hmm. If you want to keep hanging out with us, ladies and gentlemen, no big deal. Of course, Tim and I are going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to record you a post show. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you're about to get more of Gas Station Simulator, Nick Scarpino and Joey Noel's Game of the Year. I'm not that sure if that's true, but I know they really like it.
They're loving it.
If you want to see me and the roller skating game playing Janet Garcia talks on PlayStation. And of course, Life is Strange spoiler cast. We're recording that live on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames this very afternoon. There's so much content, including a whole McDonald's thing on Twitter. No matter where you go, there's something to do with Kind of Funny. And we love you and we love making stuff for you. And thanks for supporting us. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot for me to do today. So until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.